Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
It's great to have you in church with us tonight. And can I just say a quick thank you to the team that helped make Thursday night, which was a combined churches prayer gathering for the bushfire and drought situation. There was a really good turnout. It was probably four or five different churches represented, and we had two other ministers that could make it. Others sent their apology but encouraged their church peoples to come. And so we just had a great night here on Thursday night, and very much Jacinta's idea, and thank her for that. And also, but the team who just did a great job helping to facilitate what I thought was just a ripper night, and it was just a great opportunity to pray for the situation, which we still need to continue to be praying for. Obviously, it's not over with yet, and there's a huge recovery process that's going to take place. So I encourage us to keep praying for that. Last week, we started a series around the promises of God, and I've already kind of like unpacked a little bit of what's in my message tonight. But just to make sure we're all on the same page, last week we asked that question, how great is your God? The God that you believe in. And when we have that utmost deep, incredibly deep, deep sense of knowing that you believe and you do not doubt, that you just know within your knower, deep down inside, that your God is the Almighty El Shaddai, that there is nothing that's impossible for Him. When you just know that, and when you know that He's come through for you in the past and He's been faithful, and He's called you to believe for other areas of your life, when we know that God can, it means that we pray with a bold confidence. Because we know who we're praying to, and we know that He's capable of fulfilling His promises. And we pray even bolder when we start to stand upon and actually pray the promises, and we pray Scripture. As you came in tonight, hopefully you were given a list of 71 promises that I like. I know it's a bit self-indulgent, but there are things that I stand upon and our family stands upon. But when we know God can, we start to pray these things. And, you know, Scripture says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. And when we're faced with situations in life, and they can be positive as well as negative, but when we're faced with situations and we speak out these promises of God, it starts to stir and build faith. We shouldn't just come to church and expect that that's just our faith injection for the week. You don't eat once a week and expect to function optimally, right? So just like when we come to church, we should be fed, but we need to daily feed on the Word of God. And just quickly, I referred to this earlier, but on the back of that little handout you've got is just a statement, I guess, around our position around how we view the Holy Scriptures. You can read that for yourself and the scriptures that are listed there. But we hold Scripture in high esteem and high regard in this church. And we believe it's God's Word to us. We call the Bible God's Word, right? You ever heard that saying? Well, that's how we need to think of it. It's God's Word to us. We need to personally kind of adopt that to our lives, that this is God speaking to me, not just to everyone else. God doesn't show favorites. God doesn't have favorites unless you want to be one. By that I mean as much as we want to draw close to Him, He will be. And I think Proverbs somewhere, excuse me for not remembering off the top of my head, but He reveals the secrets of His words to those that draw close to Him. And so there is so much that God wants to reveal to us, but we hold and we revere the Word of God in this church. We believe that those words that we have are described as the Logos, but something supernatural happens. We believe that there is power in those words. They're living, they're active. Within Scripture, it's got the power and the authority to transform our lives into who God created us to be. We're called to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. How does that happen? We've got to read those words, but can I encourage us that when we read the Word of God, that we'd invite the Holy Spirit to come in and bring revelation out of that Word. Those words are alive, and we know that when we invite Jesus Christ into our life, we invite the Spirit of God into our life, and therefore our spirit communicates with the Holy Spirit, and it's in reading of Scripture that rhema can happen, which is illumination, which is revelation of God's Word to us. That's not just reserved for the Pope or Pastor Phil, and I don't put myself in the same category as the Pope, but I'm just saying it's not exclusively reserved for just leaders or the so-called perceived holier than thou. It's up to all of us to kind of like say, Holy Spirit, bring revelation, bring kind of illuminate your word to me. The word of God has such incredible power. And we've got to kind of take that approach, I believe, that it is God's word to us. And like I said, you've got to just imagine that as you're reading through these promises that you've got listed in front of you, and there are literally hundreds, if not thousands more, that you can actually visualize Jesus sitting opposite you and having a personal conversation and just going, Gary, God, Jesus is saying, I'll go with you, mate. I'm going to sustain you and I'm going to strengthen you. And you go, thank you, Jesus. I'll take that. And then we go to the next one. You are his beloved. He believes in you. Ben, he loves you and he believes in you. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. He loves you and he believes in you. It's like, wow, if God, the creator of the universe, believes in me and loves me, does it matter what anybody else thinks? Do you see the power that's in these words? I'm not going to go through all 71. We'll be here all night. And as much as I'd love to direct a verse to every single one of us in this room, I don't need to, because the Holy Spirit will do a better job than me, that's for sure. But we've got to imagine, we've got to kind of get that reminder of the authority and the power. Last week we spoke about the attributes of God, and that one of them was his omnipotence, that he is all-powerful. Another one of the attributes of God is that he is a God who cannot lie. He does not lie. So if he writes it down, he means it. And he's not going to renege on it. There's a list of scriptures that you'll see on the screen, Numbers 23, 1 Samuel and Hebrews 6, that are basically stating that we have a God who it is impossible for him to lie. So when you're reading these promises that you've got in your hand, you just go, this is God's truth to me and to my life, to my family, to my situation. Does that make sense? I love that. And as I said, there's literally thousands of promises in God's word. And the fact of the matter is, it's not about how you or I feel or what we see. More often than not, situations and circumstances will try to make God smaller in our framework of belief. But that does not change the fact, and I said this last week, regardless of how big or great we think God is or how small he's become because of circumstance, doesn't change the biblical fact that he is still El Shaddai, that he is still the Almighty. And that's not to minimize your situation, but it's a reminder tonight to say that regardless of how I feel or what I see, he is still greater than everything that I'm going through. See, we've got to remember the power and the authority of God's word, and especially when it comes to his promises. When it comes to his promises, you know, by definition, a promise, according to the Oxford Dictionary, defines a promise as a declaration or assurance that one will do something or that a particular thing will happen. An assurance that one will do it or a particular thing will happen. So if we believe that he is God Almighty and he makes these promises because he cannot lie and they are truth, then they will happen. And that's in God's timing. There is the now and there's the not yet. We've talked about that before. But the reality is, whether it's in the now or it's tomorrow, the reality is it will happen. You take a look at every promise that God made to Israel in the Old Testament, every single one of those promises came to pass. Those that still pertain to the future that affect us are still yet to come to pass. For Daniel's 70 weeks, for example, those things, majority have come to pass. There are still things that are yet to come to pass, but they will come to pass. I love that about our God. You know, I'm not sure about you, but sometimes our circumstances, it's all good and well to hold on to. And cognitively, we can go, yep, I believe in the promises of God when things are going well. When everything's tickety-boo, that we are kind of like, yep, I understand and it makes sense to me that the promises of God happen and it's true and I can hold on to them. But when life starts to fall apart, it's a different scenario, it's a different situation. I don't know about you, but at the end of last year, I put the call out to say, like many of us in this room, we as a family have got something that we need God to come through on. Now, for some of you, you might not know our situation, and Nat would accuse me of being an oversharer. She's an undersharer. I'm an oversharer. So I'm just going to verbally kind of like, not verbal diarrhea, but I'm just going to tell you the story. And Nat's not in the room, so that's okay. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission sometimes, right? Now, I'm not advocating that. Please, please. But, you know, we felt in God that we should rent our home out and move into the area for 3 years so our girls could finish secondary school. And then once that 3-year period, so we had a tenant in our home for 2 years and wonderful, lovely people, but we needed a tenant for this year. And we had something that was secure, or so we thought, at the end of November, but then they changed their mind around it, and so they didn't sign, and so therefore we're left with a couple of weeks leading up to Christmas to try and find a new tenant. Now, that's all fine, but being Christmas and the nature of life and things closing down, business agents going on holidays, and they're entitled to all of that sort of stuff, you know, the reality is nobody likes paying rent and a mortgage at the same time, right? That's the reality of life. We're not flush with cash that we can just go, oh, yeah, not a problem, right? So we're going, God, we need you to come through. And approaching Christmas, it's like, God, we need you to come through here. And then kind of Christmas came about, we still didn't have a tenant for our home. But we knew in God that God had called us to this area to make this move and to rent in the area and whatever. So we kind of sat down at the start of this week and it kind of hit us that, oh my gosh, God, this is a week. Like, pretty much as of this week, it starts becoming kind of like entering into that difficult space. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Right? So we just go, okay, God, we're trusting you. We're standing on your word. You've given us your word. And we're standing on your promises, Heavenly Father. And we sat around as a family and we just prayed around the kitchen table and we just sort of prayed some of those promises that we are called to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. We've constantly just as a family lived out of that motto, we'll build your house, Heavenly Father, and you'll take care of our house. We're called to be wise stewards and we do what we can. That's all good. So we do that. But Heavenly Father, we know that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, that Heavenly Father, what's the point of building up that which the moth and rust can destroy? We're about seeking first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And that we know that you are Jehovah Jireh, you're our provider. And so we're praying and just going as a family. We said, God, it's got to be this week. And so we're kind of like waiting for the opening for inspections and stuff like that to happen. And then I just kind of like started to, because I'm preaching on it, and you kind of like point, like each day I had to go around and do some stuff, tidy up around the house. You know, in the process of God doing miracles, we still have to do what we can do. It's not about sitting back on the couch, drinking pina coladas and going, no worries, God will come through. Right? That'd be nice. That's not reality. So kind of any spare time I had, I'm in there, I'm doing stuff that I needed to do, a bit of maintenance stuff and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just walking around just going, no, Lord, I just stand on your promises. I'm standing on your word. And I said, by Wednesday night, this is done. This is on Monday and Tuesday. I'm saying, by Wednesday night, this is done. Wednesday night came, didn't happen. Right, where am I going wrong? So I kind of Thursday, not discouraged, but I'm just going, okay, God, I've got a peace. I've got a peace about this. Then there was an open that I didn't even know about. And so I've rocked up to do some maintenance stuff, had to tidy some stuff up, and then family comes through, and I'm just saying, in Jesus' name, I claim this family for our home. They look like nice people. They'll look after our house. Jolly good. Just started to pray, and there was just a peace. And I just sensed God say, I've got this. And they put the application in on Thursday night, and it's secured by yesterday. And I just want to honor God. It's like, it looked impossible. It looked like, how can this happen? This time, you know, it's we needed it this week. That's the reality of our circumstance. Can I just say, you know, as a church, you know, like we as a family are not immune to the challenges of life and different things. And we don't ask us as a church community to do the things that we're not doing ourselves. But can I just tell you that there is incredible power in standing on the promises of God, that he will come through. I'm going to just, for time's sake, I just want to just jump to a couple of verses, if I may. Galatians 3:29 says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So when we accept Christ, we get adopted into his family, sons and daughters of the Most High God. We become beneficiaries. We legitimately can start to claim and be heirs of the kingdom of God. And so therefore we can appropriate and we can apply and we can claim, we can lean on, we can lean into the promises of God when we've been grafted in but by the grace of God. And the beautiful thing, can I encourage us, that the promises in 2 Corinthians 1:20, that for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him their amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Those promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Nothing to do with your ability, nothing to do with how much faith you do or don't have. All it requires is just this much. And although all hell is breaking through around us, I just go, no, in Jesus' name, I'm standing on your word. I'm standing on the authority. I'm standing on the power of your word. I'm standing on your promises. Last thing I want to give you is hold on to the promises. Come on, church, we're gonna need this more than ever before this year, because the reality is that to get to where we are today, there's a group of people that had to get uncomfortable. For some people, they thought it was crazy, ridiculous, it'll never happen moving into a space like this. Incredibly uncomfortable, and I love that. I love seeing people uncomfortable. I love being uncomfortable myself. I hate maintenance. I hate just, I can't stand it. It's like, I've got to be uncomfortable in faith in some area of my life. But not everybody's like that. I get that. And so, like, a lot of people had to get uncomfortable. But now we're here, we're comfortable. And guess what? God's calling us to uncomfortability. And that's going to be different for all of us, particularly in our area of expressing our personal faith. We're going to be so uncomfortable this year in this decade, church. But you see, what happens is like, you go, oh no, I'm going to have to tell people about Jesus. And then you do it and you freak out and it's so uncomfortable, beads of sweat going down your back and you just, I don't know what to say. I think I stuffed it up and I don't know. And God can work through all of that. But you're uncomfortable, then suddenly you see God come through and that space of uncomfortability becomes comfortable. And then guess what happens? Time for more uncomfort. How exciting. I hope you're ready for that, because that's where we're going as a church in various areas in our lives, that God wants to call us to uncomfortability. But can I just leave you with this little tool that I personally find helpful? When it comes to standing on the promises of God, when we're faced with a situation in our life, we're called to pray for those things, right? Be anxious for nothing, but through all things through prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. Okay? We all agree? So when we're faced with something, we should pray. So we're praying for it. Not just once, we're called to ask, seek, knock, which is a continue ongoing until we see that breakthrough, continual process of praying through it. Okay, that's the second step, pray through it. But see, a lot of people stop here, but I think this is where we miss. It's the next step, which is so incredibly powerful because, and I set you up because everyone agreed that we believe in El Shaddai the Almighty. Everyone in the room said, well, to my knowledge, that's what I saw and heard. Everyone in the room agrees that he's the Almighty and that his promises are yes, amen, that he can fulfill them. So therefore, not am I just praying for, I'm not praying through, I'm actually praising for the result that will happen. Are you with me? And I'm praising through it. I'm not just praying through it, I'm actually praising through it, which is a different position, it's a different posture, it's a different stance, because I'm actually praising, saying, Lord God, I thank you for the answered prayer, and I thank you. Now, I'm not talking about blab it and grab it, confess it, possess it, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having a balanced understanding and view coming from the authority of God's word, the nature and character of who God is, understanding that his promises are yes and amen. So therefore, when I stand and I praise, the only reason that I can praise is because of those things. It's got nothing to do with me. It's got nothing to do with how much I blab and grab and blah, blah, blah. It's about standing on the word of God. It's going back to the word of God, as we should always do. Does that make sense? So not only should we pray for and we should pray through, but there should be a point, even in this service tonight, for me, like one of my responsibilities as the pastor is kind of like desiring and praying and working with the team for a breakthrough moment in this service. Because if those breakthrough moments don't happen, then like maybe somebody's going to miss the miracle. Maybe somebody's going to miss what God wants to do. Maybe there's a blessing that God wants to pour out. And that sounds pretty big that we're limiting God. I'm not saying that, but I believe that there are breakthrough moments in a service that we need to be sent. And I believe that when we're praying through stuff, if we're sensitive, there's a breakthrough moment where I shift from praying through it to actually praising, saying, thank you, Lord, there's been breakthrough, and I now confess and I praise you and I thank you for that prayer being answered in Jesus' name. Even though I don't see it, doesn't look like it's going to happen, but I'm standing on the promises of God, that my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I don't start there. in terms of like that praise point. I submit that request to the Lord. I pray through it. But then there's like a breakthrough moment in my prayer time, in my time with the Lord. And that's why we've got to spend that time daily with Jesus. It's got to be a daily line upon line, precept upon precept.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.